The subconscious mind is a storehouse, a reflection of all previous conscious mind experiences. The power of our decisions create our reactions of tomorrow. Our reactions of tomorrow, when they happen, program the subconscious mind. We have to be careful that our programming is just right, so that the channels to superconsciousness begin to open through the subconscious mind itself. We have not always realized that we've had a subconscious state of mind. For hundreds of years, humanity on this earth believed that the conscious mind was the only reality. Humanity was religious and believed in superconsciousness, but believed that superconsciousness was totally outside and away from himself. That is what put God way up in the heaven and angels way up in the sky and caused superstition, the phenomena that has come down to us through the ages. Why? What was the in-between? Why was God supposed to be outside the body of man, way up in the sky someplace? The subconscious mind was in between. Man saw himself as a little insignificant nothing that's come along from someplace, like a broken old, down old vehicle that's rattled and banged along through life, chuggity, 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 chug. And he didn't appreciate the way he got to where he was at all. He knew he was a hateful, jealous, greedy, instinctive being. And he knew that. And he knew that's how you get along in life. You got to fight for what you want. You got to argue. You got to bitch. You have to be jealous, else how are you going to get any place? You have to be quick-tempered. How are you going to dominate anybody else? Got to scare people, get your way. You got to elbow your way through life. That's the way to live in the conscious mind. And he didn't basically inwardly appreciate the mechanisms he was using at all. So again, back to the light. His inner light, which we call the light of the soul, and the electricity running through the cord of it, and that power beyond and within that electricity we'll call God, was way far away from him, because this light of his soul was covered up with so many sheaths of the instinctive intellectual mind and of ignorance that he finally turned inward and he sat down and asked the question, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? As the planet has become more and more enlightened in the mass consciousness, what did he discover? The subconscious mind. The subconscious mind became a great study to him. He discovered his dreams. He said, what are these dreams? He began to separate the dream from himself. And he started studying his dreams. He started studying his reactions, the various schools of human behavior, the various psychologies began to develop on the earth. The world of the East and the world of the West began to merge. Man started studying his reactions. He asked the question, why fear? Why jealousy? Why love? Why lust? Why hatred? Why emotionalism? Why desire? And he penetrated into the depths of his subconscious mind in this study. And the subconscious mind became the God, became the whole thing. Then he started teaching other people all about the subconscious mind and throwing their awarenesses within, out of the conscious mind. They started studying themselves. In the very same way the mass consciousness started doing all of this the last few hundred years, the same thing happened to the mass consciousness as happens to the young mystic who sits down, focuses his attention on a flower, begins to concentrate on it, and begins to get distracted by his own subconscious mind. He begins to conquer those distractions, controls his breath, controls his body, and then what happens to him? He goes within himself, apparently. But he doesn't really go within himself. The great shining body of the soul begins to come out and merge with the physical elements, which have become quiet enough so that these two bodies can merge. When the physical and emotional elements are in a state of turmoil, the body, the soul, the psyche, is apparently within, because we are only aware of the disturbance. We're not aware of the peace and the power of that inner body. Only when, through breath control, posture control, control of awareness, study of one's thoughts, and reprogramming the subconscious mind, can we quiet that 6,000 miles of nerve current within us. Quiet the muscle tissue. Reprogram the subconscious mind. Then the inner being of man merges out into the external. This is what's happening to the mass consciousness. Those who penetrated into the subconscious then begin to penetrate into the sub-superconscious and come into psychic phenomena. Penetrating into past lives, the memory patterns become strong and become vibrant. They've already remembered everything they did in this life, and they start to remember what they did in the last life. And it seems like it's only happened yesterday. I have remembered several of my past lives. I know what I looked like, what I felt like, who I was, and what I did, and it seems like it happened only yesterday. It's as strong as a memory that would have happened 3 or 4 days ago that I would be standing here telling you about. All of these memories are alive within our cellular structure, because all of these so-called memories, the accumulation of all of our experiences, is what has created this cellular structure of your physical body, your astral or emotional body, your intellectual body, and your psyche, your soul. All working together has brought us all to this point where we are today. There are many ways to reprogram the subconscious mind, but when we first start, we have to attack it very positively. And the power of affirmation is a very positive way for us to approach our subconscious mind. Generally, we do not have a good opinion of ourselves, because the most drastic experiences that have impressed our memory patterns that we have had in this life generally are the no-nos, the things that we shouldn't have done, that we wouldn't be very proud of if we told anybody about. These experiences were the most intense vibrations that we went through, and generally an intense experience, according to the mass mind, is a no-no. You shouldn't do it. You should just have bland experiences and go through life in a puppet sort of way, not being too much of an anybody. As soon as we have an emotional experience or something that really impresses our memory, It stands out as a something we wish that really it should never have happened, especially to us. Therefore, we've had several of these experiences throughout our life. We're very much content to think that God is way up in the sky someplace helping us, and we wish he would help us more, but we're not quite so sure that he might be too busy to help us, because I know an awful lot of other people that have had pretty bad experiences. In fact, most of them were worse than I am. And he's probably pretty busy answering all of their prayers too, so I can't see how he can possibly help us, and therefore he doesn't. We're left alone to suffer with our own memories. And in suffering with our own memories, we're in bad company, and that leads us to desire and confusion, and we go right ahead and have more experiences that we wish we never had had. So, and this makes up life. Power of affirmation. Talking to the subconscious, almost as if it were someone else. I am not the physical body. I am the light, the body of the soul, a pure intelligence, all power within it. I am the body of the soul. I live in this physical body. Tell that to your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind will cough back, like our computer does. What a bunch of... That's what our computer does. Every time you put something into it that's not supposed to go there, it types back illegal entry or illegal access. When we put a program into the computer, we have to think it out first. Then when we begin to use that program, it will either work or not work, depending on our approach. If we type something into the computer which is not in complete accordance with the program already in the computer will type back illegal entry or illegal access. This surprises you. And then you seek to type in the right information. The computer personifies itself almost like a person to you. Our subconscious minds also become like other people to us, especially if we forget how they were previously programmed. So we have to begin dynamically reprogramming our subconscious mind. To do this, we talk to it. Just like other people have talked to your subconscious mind and programmed it through the years, we talk to it ourselves, and we talk to it positively. And we want to change our life, or live a new life, or have a new dramatic approach to life. Therefore, we have to reprogram our subconscious mind first in order to change our personality, to break up old habit patterns and put in new habit patterns. Why work with the old habit pattern? Put in a new habit pattern. That's the way to reprogram the subconscious mind. It's sort of like a firm jelly. It's a chemical. It gets impressed. We impress this with a good, strong, positive will through the power of affirmations. We've been hearing affirmations all the time throughout our life, but they've come from other people. We've been told how we have to dislike certain types of people and like other types of people. We've been told how we have to think, how we have to believe, and therefore the subconscious mind is impressed and harnesses the awareness when it wants to go into other areas of thinking or believing because we have been programmed. Now we want to program ourselves. That's one of the initial steps on the path of enlightenment, to give a new program to the subconscious mind, and we do it this way. Choose a positive affirmation, one like this. I am a spiritual being. And then repeat that affirmation over and over again. I am a spiritual being. I am a spiritual being. Explain carefully to the subconscious mind that the word I does not refer to the physical body or to the emotional body. We're not trying to make the subconscious mind believe that the physical body or the emotional body is a spiritual being, but the soul, the body of light, is the I. Then finally, anytime you'd hear the word I, any place you are in the world, it registers soul or body of light. You immediately are taken within on the word I. Repeat again and again, I am a spiritual being. I am a spiritual being. I am a spiritual being. Gently work with the subconscious mind. Never, never try and argue with the subconscious mind. That only mixes it up. The subconscious mind is programmed to work quite mechanically, like a computer. It's your friend, or it will fight back, depending upon the program that you put into it. If you have problems with your subconscious mind, it simply means the old programs doesn't fit into your current lifestyle, that you have to reprogram it. Don't worry about the old pattern. It'll fade away. The energy from the old pattern in the subconscious mind will be the energy that impresses the new reprogramming into the subconscious mind. If you think about the old pattern that is giving you problems, you are simply reprogramming the subconscious mind with the old pattern. And we don't want to do that. Choose another positive affirmation. I rely on the power of my spine. I lean on my own spine. I lean on my own spine. I feel the power of the spine. I lean on my own spine. I feel the power of the spine. Then you feel that love, that kindness, that understanding that bursts forth from the central source of all energy flowing through the spine and out through the nerve system. And the word I again means soul, body of light. You even might see the light within the spine itself, scintillating and bubbling right through the nerve system. The subconscious mind has never been programmed like this before. A program like this is easy to go into that chemical-like substance of the subconscious. And as soon as it's there, what do you know? You begin to feel like you rely on the power of your spine. Experience comes up in life that would usually shake you up. You simply, inside yourself, lean on the power of your spine. You know the right answer at the right time. Your intuition is open, and you feel wonderful. You can steady yourself. Whereas previously, you may have gone into an emotional upheaval, which would have lasted a couple of days, all as a result of the old programming. Choose affirmations that are simple, clear, clean, direct, and work with the subconscious mind gently as you would work with clay. Mold this chemical life substance gently and yet firmly, and be sure to understand the meaning of the words and project your feeling into the subconscious. When you say, I feel the soul. When you say power, feel power. When you say spine, feel the power of the spine. That's all you have to do to reprogram the subconscious mind. Here's another affirmation. I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am not this emotion. I am beyond the mind. The I am refers to the self. I am, beyond the mind. I'm not this body. I'm not this mind. I'm not the emotions. I am beyond the mind. We change the meaning of I am and put a new meaning in the subconscious mind. Then the subconscious mind will, if 2 weeks later you ask the subconscious mind, what is the meaning of the two words, I am, when used together? And it'll type back over the teletype. The words I am, when used together, mean the self. Not the body, not the emotions, or not the mind. It means the self. So little by little, we remold and reprogram the subconscious mind so it works for us. Now, we don't have to be afraid of the subconscious mind because it's useless to be afraid of the past. And when we start to meditate, if memories come up from the subconscious as if they happened almost yesterday, and we start to react emotionally all over again, say, welcome, 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 memory from the past. My goodness, you're shaking my emotional body. I remember going through these emotional states years ago, and here we are again, reliving this film all over again, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm on the spiritual path to enlightenment. I am the self. One day I'm going to realize it fully. I am a body of light, the soul, and I live in this physical body, and I use these emotions. They're my tools. And here you are. You're making me try to feel like I was 5 years ago before I got reprogrammed subconsciously and awakened spiritually. So then take down, like a good secretary, take down on a piece of paper everything about the experiences that have come up before your vision and burn it up. In other words, write down the entire experience that happened to you maybe 10 years ago that you're reacting emotionally to now because it has dominated your entire awareness faculty. And bring it out of the subconscious and put it in the conscious mind. Then take it and burn it up. Serves two purposes. Burning up that piece of paper with the reaction written down on it. Symbolic that you're not going to react to it anymore. You've taken it out of the subconscious mind. It's also wonderful because nobody else will read it. Won't have it laying around at all to cause another problem. If when you start to meditate, you become keen enough and perceptive enough to begin to see within yourself, occasionally you will see into the subconscious mind and to begin to relive your past. All of the predominantly strong memory and reactionary patterns of the past will begin to loom up before you one after another, and you'll begin to react to them all over again, emotionally and even physically. These are not real experiences. It's only areas of the subconscious mind popping up before you to be reprogrammed. Handle them dynamically. Welcome them in a very hospitable way. Remove them from the subconscious by writing them down on a piece of paper. Burn the piece of paper up, and the reaction will subside, and the memory will be there as an education upon which you can formulate decisions for the future, so that the same problems won't occur again and go into the subconscious mind as experiential habit patterns. And this writing down process only works when you are actually meditating and these problems come up because of your meditation. Generally, people start meditating and they do very well in the beginning. And their great desire to go within themselves propels them within themselves. And then, when the subconscious mind begins to upheave itself, they become afraid of themselves or afraid to look at the subconscious patterns, and they stop meditating and go back into the conscious mind and get all distracted again so that they can forget all of these terrible things that seem like terrible things because they were strong impressions. And that begins and ends meditation. For years, therefore, after that, they say, I like to meditate, and I do sometimes, but I don't have any time really to meditate. What they're actually saying, most of my time is used up distracting myself so that I won't have to meditate and face my subconscious. You have to face everything that's gone into your subconscious, not only in this life, but has been registered in your subconscious in past lives. Because if you don't, you'll never attain self-realization. It'll be that last subconscious area that you were afraid to face. It'll loom up before you, that last so-called devil. Come up in the form of worries and fears that you'll want to push away, hide away, so that not you or anyone else can see it. Realize that you've gone all through all the experiences that this earth consciousness has to offer. Through the physical body, you've died all the deaths. You've had all the emotional experiences. You've had the good of the world and the bad of the world and the mixed good and bad of the world through all of your many lives before you come to the life where you say, I want to realize the self in this life. And then you're tying up all the loose ends. Anything that you cannot face in yourself, you will hate when you see it in someone else. And this then brings you out of that gorgeous universal love, which is the platform for self-realization, into the emotions of the instinctive mind, back out into the conscious mind. So, as you're meditating and various aspects of yourself come up, face them positively, reprogram them beautifully, and they'll settle back into simply a memory pattern. If you see something in someone else you don't like and it affects you emotionally, sit down and face it within your own subconscious mind, for that's where the source spot is. If you see someone doing something that you do not think that they should do and it really gets on your nerves, just know that under the right circumstances, you'd really do the same thing too. Because the tendency is there. Get into yourself and reprogram that area of your subconscious mind with good positive affirmation. Firm up your lifestyle for a contemplative life, because there is the weak link in the chain. Sometimes we see the weak link in our chain by looking in the lives of other people. If your parents are living the type of life that really, really grates on you, just begin to realize that when you become their age, you'll probably live a worse type of life, because the seeds of that type of life are just coming up in you and you're trying to suppress them by criticizing your parents or your friends or the world in general. Everything in the world and everything in the mind is as it should be, in a perfect state of evolution. Superconsciously, we can see that through the eyes of the soul. Looking at it through the eyes of the instinctive mind or intellectual mind, we have blinders on both sides of those eyes. We can't see that. We've got that carrot right in front of our nose of desire, and we're going after it, step at a time with these blinders on. We have to go in and in and in and expand that inner state of awareness so that we have that mountaintop consciousness. Quite often on the path, we have a tendency of being pretty involved with ourselves. We get pretty interested in our inner goals. And we disinvolve ourselves from previous acquaintances, family, and friends, simply because more time is put in working with ourselves and we see our goal always looming up in view, always sort of within our reach. And we begin to love people pretty well, but we begin to hate our subconscious mind. We see it as the greatest enemy between awareness and the ultimate goal of merging into the self. We might look in the mirror and see that clouded, funny-looking aura and say, "My goodness, you look terrible today, emotionally, subconsciously, but pretty good physically." And we go through all these different states of consciousness. This is also one of the biggest barriers on the path. Instead of disliking somebody else like maybe we usually do, to dislike our subconscious mind and personify it almost like a person instead. We must watch this very closely. The subconscious mind is not an enemy. It's just an old piece of equipment that we are renewing. Not an enemy at all. If we make an enemy out of the subconscious mind and walk around hanging our head and wondering why this and why that, and if it wasn't for this subconscious mind, I'd be well on my way on the path to enlightenment a long time ago. We are simply programming the subconscious mind to become worse and a bigger barrier. That's what it's schooled to do, to simply record these impressions. That's how the subconscious works. We have to bless the subconscious mind. Take an up-down attitude. Simply tell yourself, "I'm working with my subconscious mind. Things aren't working out very well for me today. I think I'll have it handled by evening." Go to the store and buy a lot of paper and do a lot of writing and clear up various areas and know that the colors are going away too. The point I want to make is do not fear the subconscious mind. Realize that it has not been programmed as it should be. Realize that your superconsciousness is the master programmer. Get busy and reprogram it, and you can do it through the power of affirmation. You can do it by firming up a contemplative lifestyle. You can do it through the powers of meditation. And the first step is attention, holding awareness in one spot, observing the thinking faculties. Second step, concentration, using the willpower to hold awareness and go in and in and in that which you are aware of. And the third step is observation, bringing superconscious faculties to the conscious mind and getting an inner knowledge of that which you are concentrating upon, looking through it from the inside out. This is one of the first great powers that comes to you through meditation. Of course, there is a portion of the subconscious mind that remains the same, and that handles the instinctive, involuntary processes of the physical body. But through nutrition to meditation, this area of the subconscious also begins to change as we build in new food intake and elimination processes. We stop storing up the poisons in our cells. We begin to eliminate them regularly. As we bring them into the body, we begin to throw them out. This area of the subconscious mind has to be handled and reprogrammed as well. We do this through nutrition to meditation, through breathing, through proper posture, through the yoga asana, as well as getting plenty of sun, exercise, walking, and all the wonderful things that benefit the physical body. We add those to our contemplative lifestyle, as well as something to do with our hands, something to make, to take a little bit of the earth and to create something usable out of it. Also, reprograms the instinctive area of the subconscious mind that handles the involuntary processes of the physical body itself. Working with our hands, having a hobby or a craft, taking physical substance and turning it into something different, new, beautiful, creative, is important in remolding the subconscious mind. For it's symbolic. We're actually remolding something on the physical plane. We are also educating ourselves in the process of changing the appearance of a physical structure. Until we're very, very advanced on the path, we don't know whether we have reprogrammed the subconscious mind or not, or when the programming is in, or if it's incorrectly. But we do know if we create something with our hands, whether it's done correctly, carefully, and we know when it's finished, that we can see on the physical plane. This very process of taking physical substance into our hands, using it carefully, systematically, disciplining ourselves to finish that which we have begun, is powerful in itself. We overcome habit patterns of carelessness. We overcome habit patterns of not being able to pay attention to details or wanting to. We overcome habit patterns of becoming distracted in doing just this. So choose a hobby. Work at it. It could be a craft, but it should be something that you do with your hands that changes the form of physical objects or of a physical object, such as taking clay and out of it making a beautiful vase, such as taking yarn and out of it weaving a beautiful tapestry. As soon as the subconscious mind has been reprogrammed, even just a little bit, the channels of intuition begin to open. And you begin to feel like nothing is happening to you anymore. Like you're going on from day to day, you're not unfolding spiritually, nothing's happening to you anymore. You don't even know if you're making progress on the path. You're like in a beautiful airplane, going at 1,000 miles an hour, with the feeling of not moving. Everything is so well worked out. Know that when you feel like nothing's happening to you anymore, that you're living in a sub-superconscious state. You're living in the eternity of the moment. Your subconscious has been reprogrammed a little bit, and the superconscious is filtering through. When your subconscious has been reprogrammed thoroughly, and you do not take exception to anything that happens in this universe, that you love through understanding everyone, you know just what they're going through because you have a memory pattern locked into the memory banks, where all memory patterns through all the lives are available to you, and you can remember when you went through the very same thing that your friend is going through. May have been 10 lives ago, but you went through it. Therefore, you know his next step, because you know how you got out of the same pattern yourself. Then you begin to know that your spiritual body and your physical body are becoming one. You're becoming a spiritual being walking on the earth. The only thing that's not a spiritual being, seemingly, is the subconscious mind. But that's only an illusion because it's been programmed in a haphazard way as we've gone along through our many, many, many lives, having our many, many, many experiences. It has collected up habit patterns and a programming that is haphazard. When we attack it and work it out just beautifully, then it becomes a tremendous tool, and then it becomes no longer a subconscious mind. It becomes the sub-superconscious mind. New energies start to flow through the physical body. You begin to feel them. New understanding begins to come from the inside out. Our perspective is steady. When we sit down to concentrate on something, we're no longer distracted. It's not because we've done something magical within us, simply because the senses of distraction have been quieted. Through our practice, through our talking mentally to our subconscious mind. When we have access to the inner light, after our very first awakening into it, we have to then work with awareness to flow into inner light and out again. As soon as this is accomplished, and it's easy, then at the end of each day, this is how my monastic order is trained. At the end of each day, flow awareness into the inner light and hover there like a hummingbird over a flower and allow the inner light to shine on the odic force fields or the so-called darker areas of the mind. And as awareness collects itself and moves fully into the light, the darker areas seem to fade. They don't actually. It's just that awareness is moving away from those darker areas. They're always there. Everything in the mind is always there. We have the light side, we have the dark side. The important thing is where we are traveling within the mind. The next time that all of you are in a state of worldliness, as soon as you get home, sit down and seek for the light. If you can't find it, even visualize it. Visualize a light bulb going on within your head, or a flashlight right at the top of your head shining down. When the flashlight doesn't go out, even if you turn off the switch, then you know that you have the inner light. And you will watch awareness move out of the darker area of the mind. It's a wonderful feeling, and it's a basic practice of the contemplative life of living two-thirds within oneself and one-third in the external world. I'm often asked, well, do you just see light, or do you think you see light? If you turned out the lights, you'd see the same thing. And if you were in a darkened room, I mean. You see the same thing as if the lights were on in the room or you were in broad daylight because you're seeing with your inner eye. How do you use the inner eye to see with? You just learn to. That's part of unfoldment. All of a sudden, one day, you realize you're seeing with an inner eye. At the same time, you're seeing with your outer eyes. Of course, through Wailu University, it's easy to step by step learn how the inner eye works and how you can see with your inner eye. And you come into that unfoldment very rapidly because you're around so many people who are seeing with their third eye, seeing light within themselves as a very natural state. They have for many, many years. It's no novelty. It would be a novelty more to them not to see light within themselves. But the inner light, it's so beautiful. It's firm. Sometimes it's sort of fibrous. And it's full of energy, and yet it's quiet, full of colors. You get into color, and in that realm, you can hear color. At the same time, you can see color. You can hear sound and see color all at the same time. And you have the faculty to turn hearing on and to turn hearing off because you hear with an inner ear. Now, of course, this is very useful, too, in daily life. You listen to someone talk. You know exactly what they're meaning because you're listening to them through your inner ear. You look at someone. You know exactly where they are in consciousness because you're looking at them with your inner eye. We have one area of the subconscious mind that seems rather devious, and it's extremely hard to program. It's called the sub of the subconscious mind. It could often seem like a loose screw in the computer, something that made that piece of machinery sort of a lemon from time to time. This is called the sub of the subconscious mind. When programmed correctly, it can become the greatest asset. Brings us good luck, makes our timing very perfect through life. And when we feel like nothing's happening to us anymore, we're just going along smoothly, we walk to a door, the door opens, we walk to the telephone and it begins to ring, then our super consciousness is going along very nicely. But as soon as something begins to throw our timing out, that's generally the sub of the subconscious mind. For two programs of a similar nature going into the subconscious computer at different times, mix and mingle and form a third program within the subconscious computer that intellectually you don't know what it is. This is what makes the subconscious mind sort of awesome and foreboding. Now, if both of the programs are good, beneficial, positive, and spiritually vibrant, that's excellent. But if they're not, that can be very disturbing. For instance, we'll take an arbitrary man. He goes to a party. At the party, he upsets a whole table of food and beverages just by accident. They spill all over him and on several other people too. He's embarrassed. It's impressed his subconscious mind tremendously. He doesn't forget it. A year later, he goes to another party. And across the room, he sees a friend of his upset a whole tray of glasses, and the beverages spill all down the front of the friend and a couple of other people too, and he knows just how that friend feels. He goes through the whole reaction all over again, and he can't get it out of his mind. Two programs of a similar nature have gone into his subconscious mind. Both didn't work out very well socially or intellectually. A few months later, he's invited to a party. Doesn't want to go. Doesn't want to be around people. He feels crowded in elevators. He's protecting himself from a similar reaction. His big problem is, after that every time he gets around a group of people who are having fun, he wants to leave. He never goes to parties anymore. He stays home. Feels crowded on elevators, claustrophobia. He's having a terrible time within himself, and he tries to doctor the claustrophobia, and he tries to talk himself into going to parties so that he'll get over the problem. He doesn't know what the problem is. This can go on for years, and it can be building and building and building within him. The subconscious mind can be very powerful. It creates a person's tendencies, molds his personality. Through the powers of meditation, one can conquer or straighten out a few of the subconscious mind's predominant misprogrammings that cause us to have tendencies or act in certain ways that we don't want to. How is this done generally? Generally, it's done automatically. We dream it away. For if you meditate strongly before you go to sleep, you will pass the dream world and go into superconsciousness. And from the inside out, the superconscious being of you will work with your subconscious mind. Therefore, people that meditate should not remember their dreams. You might wake up in the morning having had a long series of peculiar dreams. This is the sub of the subconscious mind working out these habit patterns, sort of, in a sense, throwing them out. Throwing them back into the subconscious so that they too can be programmed beautifully and correctly. If we remember our dreams or try to analyze our dreams and are meditating at the same time, then we re-impress our dreams in the subconscious mind and create the same pattern all over again. Now, this does not mean that we should not analyze our dreams or that that is not the proper thing to do. It simply means that analyzing one's dreams and meditating at the same time is not the best thing for spiritual unfoldment. If we're not meditating and our work is just analyzing our dreams and understanding that area of the mind, that's perfectly fine. While we're going through our first stages of unfoldment and clarifying and reprogramming the sub of the subconscious mind, do not analyze your dreams. If you have some bad dreams, say, great, I must have really started reprogramming the sub of my subconscious mind last night, and I certainly should be feeling better in a day or two, more positive, stronger, have better willpower, and all that. That's the key. Forget about your dreams as soon as you wake up. If you're practicing attention, concentration, and meditation. Talking mentally to the subconscious mind is, and really feeling it, is the way to impress the subconscious mind. Other people talking to you impress your subconscious mind. When we program the subconscious mind positively, through actually talking to it and feeling emotionally what we're saying, we're doing it in the very same way your friends, your school teachers, your mothers and fathers, and your experiences in life have programmed it for you, generally by talking. You've heard people talk to themselves. I hate that situation. I really can't stand to be around people like that. I really hate people when they act like that. I really can't stand it. It really makes me mad. They're programming their subconscious mind, and they're working hard at it. I really can't understand why they don't see things the way I do. I think they're stupid. Subconscious mind registers. Stupid. Subconscious mind doesn't see the difference between one person and another. It just registers impressions as it goes along. Everyone is programming their own subconscious mind by talking to it. He talked me into it. He programmed my subconscious mind. Therefore, I remember what I got talked into. If he didn't program my subconscious mind, I wouldn't remember what I got talked into. So therefore, through the power of affirmation, that's why the power of affirmation is called the power of affirmation. It's a tremendous power. Watch what you think very carefully. Because everything you think, you're impressing that subconscious mind and setting new habit patterns into action. Watch what you say. A mystic is very careful of his words. He's very careful. He even doesn't say very much because he's programming his subconscious mind very carefully. Watch who you talk to so that you don't get programmed or you don't interfere with someone else's subconscious mind. Don't argue. That mixes up the programming. We have to keep that subconscious mind a ready channel for superconsciousness. Then it is called the sub-superconscious mind. Then the spiritual body and the physical body and the emotional body act in unison. When this happens, a light begins to appear within the head. It may only be seen in a flash, but the first flash is generally the most dynamic one. If you were psychic and trained in a certain way, when this first birth came of the meshing of the inner body and the physical body, you would see a baby before you. With your eyes closed in a state of meditation, you'd see a little child before you, a little child of golden light. You'd also see jewels. You'd see a red jewel within your head. Oh, you'd see the pearl of great price within the top of your head. You'd see the sapphire on the right side of your head. Your spine would be a Christmas tree. That is the first spiritual experience on the path. Now, if you're not awakened psychically, which takes a little bit of training, and some people have it naturally because of training in a past life, all you see is a flash of light.